of The Messenger, and I welcome you today. Our show today is going to be in two parts. First, we're going to discuss the energies of ascension, and the second part of the show, we're going to discuss earth changes. And the reason we're presenting these two ideas today is because I think the two of them are very much a part of one another. And so we're going to start out by reminding people that we have just had an eclipse of the moon. And today, as it is, the moon is eclipsing the Pleiades, a cluster of stars. And so Archangel Michael is telling us that this is a very important time. And there's a short paragraph I want to read that he has given us. And as I'm reading this, I want you to concentrate and think about the energies that he is referring to and hopefully try to integrate them into your physical body. And this is what he says. We are grateful to those who answer our hopes and dreams. We have dreams on this side of the divide also. And our dream is to see all my followers awaken to the glory of who they are and go with me in the next chapter of our glorious journey. These two events concerning the activities of the moon has the effect of opening a grand doorway to the heart. Those of the light will be marked in a special manner, as there will be a golden energy stamp made upon their heart and soul. This will act as a reminder to those who love their God that God is within them. You will find that in the near future, when things may become chaotic, there will be peace and confidence flooding your consciousness. This is the beginning for some of experiencing the new earth, and you will be comforted. I say this about trying to meditate on what he just said, that you have an energy stamp now placed in your heart and soul, because these energies sometimes are very subtle until you concentrate on them. And when you concentrate on them, there are times you start to see things entering your body, and at least you start to feel them. And so he's indicating that these feelings that are flooding your consciousness are some of the same experiences from the new earth, but most of all, you'll be comforted. Now, Pope John has a message on ascension, and this is on our website. I'm just going to read a highlight from this. You have to understand that when this soul is coming forth, he is not coming forth from the aspect of the church and the dogma of the church. He is coming forth as the energy person that he is. This is a gentleman who began his lifetime here on earth as a Lemurian. He was a very advanced Lemurian, and he is a master of energy. Even though he has passed over to the other side, his purpose here is to work with a new energy that is coming to earth. And it is only such advanced souls as his who is able to work with this. And so the first part of the message, he discusses his life message, his life mission. And he is talking about now, when he came to earth, that he came between two energy fields. When he was born, there was a very important eclipse. And when he died, there was a very important eclipse. And he said, when I came to earth, there were rumblings of war, and as a youth, I was involved in the war machine of a once great nation. I felt firsthand the pain of a nation as I watched my friends and acquaintances dragged off to the concentration camps. This was planned for me to come at this time for two purposes. I helped free Poland from Soviet demands to dominate my homeland. This took courage because he knew people would suffer if he made a mistake. And so he used the power of the papacy and his powerful connection with the people to help free them of the domination. Then he also talks about the other thing that he did during his lifetime, is he knew that he had a special energy that he carried, and he used that energy to hold back the dark forces during his papacy. And he said there were wars of great destruction were kept at bay, though there was some pacification against tyranny. But he spoke out against them. He said that During his reign, there was no great weather devastation. He helped hold back the energies of Hark as they were tamed somewhat because of the forces of his energy field. Since then, weather modification has been unleashed and will continue to direct weather patterns if you, the people, do not control this through your thought power. You have the ability, but do not use this. Last show, we discussed this, how important our own thoughts are in the mighty force that we are and what we can use. Then he said he stayed as long as he did. He was waiting for the eclipse that occurred when he died, and that this was the new energy that infused each person on Earth and started to change your DNA. And so in his book, Viva Papa, he mentions Earth changes, and he is in the realm where he is now to help alleviate these changes. And so he talks about a special energy that is coming. And this is the energy that Mother Mary called the warning. And she talked to people about that, the children at Fatima. She discussed the warning. And he says, the warning is the ability to see self as God sees you. And I'm going to go to the next one from Julius Caesar, which is in the same book, Viva Papa. And he discusses a little more about this energy, and it is something that is before us, that we are going to be experiencing before ascension. And that's why I'm describing this experience to you, because Julius Caesar, in his book that we did together, Conversations with Caesar, found on the same webpage, he explains how he was in the Bardo and how he eventually left the Bardo and what happened to him afterwards. And so he talks about this vibration that will be coming to Earth, and he says it is a mirror to each and every one of you to allow you to see your soul as the maker of all sees your soul. I had informed you that this force was of an electrical quality in that it grasps the core of your being and takes you through a journey that brings forth all the pictures of who and what you are. These pictures are like riveting impulses that takes you to the very beginning of your entry into vibration and then form if you've spent lifetimes in form. It moves you to each and every action that you experienced in your existence. That means that every thought and every intention is brought before you in complete honesty and justice. This is an awesome experience beyond your comprehension. You are face to face with every act and intention that you ever handled through your desires, and then it shows you how those intentions and forces you sent out to the world on ripples of movement to others actually affected them. These ripples of impulses allow you to see your footprints through time and through your communication with others and the path that you set down for others to follow. This is a revelation unlike any other. So he talks about, at death, you do have a review of sorts of that lifetime that has passed, but in this energy, you're going to be reviewing all of your lifetimes, and you're going to be doing it alone without your angels that assist you as you review this when you transition. All of these readings, the links that I'm going to talk about, are all on our website, www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com, and it is under the radio show. For now, if we would like to introduce Mattia again. Mattia, are you there, dear?
Yes, Carolyn.
Mattia, would you be kind enough to mention to our listening audience what you offer by way of a Archangel Michael reading to the first listener that emails you, and also give your email address?
Okay, I'll give the email address first. That is archangel@wispwest.net. It's wispwest.net. So that's archangel@wispwest.net. Archangel Michael requested that I do these readings so that people have a better understanding of why they have come to the planet and some of the contracts and goals that they set for themselves before they came to Earth.
I'd also like to compliment Mattia for all the great work that she's done on the website, because she has done the website with her graphics, and she is putting up all of these messages and links for you, because we just have too much to discuss to get that energy to you, but to get that information to you. But just go to the website. It's all there. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Carolyn.
Now, during this this last eclipse that we're talking about, that Archangel Michael has described, I want to focus on that again, because it's very important during these eclipses to take a moment and realize the solemnity that these are meaning to you. Our previous Pope, John Paul, has discussed how these energies imprint the body, how they imprint the planet. And Archangel Michael tells us that these energies are actually coming from cosmic center. And how they affect you and what you carry away with it has a lot to do with your state of mind. So it's good during these periods of time, like today, and when this opening started with our earlier eclipse, it's good to be in a receptive mind, to be willing to accept these energies into the body, and to try and have some sort of understanding as to what they actually mean. Now, on the lunar eclipse, I was talking to a friend, and she told me how she had taken the time. She was meditating. She was in a receptive place, and I think she probably was able to grasp perhaps the highest understanding and acceptance of what the cosmos had to offer, because she told me what she had seen was an orange ray which came into her body. And I know from seeing orange rays in other places that it is a very highest form of protection coming from the very higher levels of dimensions. And as it came into her body, it carried with her, carried with this ray, a golden disc. And on the disc was imprinted symbols. And she recognized some of the symbols because they were sacred Reiki symbols. Some of the symbols she didn't realize. But as Archangel Michael is telling us, that this was a time of protection. It was a time of imprinting the soul. And it is a time of also experiencing a period in the new earth. And so what I would suggest to you is to make note of when the different eclipses are coming and try and work with them. Now, there was a very special eclipse in 1999. And the reason that that was so important, it was a day when the solar wind virtually stopped. This was in 1999. And this is mentioned throughout the different books that we have written, messages that we have taken. Viva Papa discusses this. It's in the book of research that I send out with Viva Papa. And on our website, we have a link that is a NASA link. And it goes into, it's called the Astronomy Picture of the Day. And this goes into 1999, where the solar wind stopped. And when that wind stopped, the sun's corona, there was a flow of electrons out to the Earth that imprinted the Earth in a very special manner. Our scientists considered this very unusual, that the solar wind stopped. And what Pope John Paul tells us is that this was a very special energy that came from cosmic center that imprinted the earth, that imprinted us and changed our DNA. I didn't realize at the time, because I wasn't aware of that energy about the sun, but I was called to Sedona at that time with another person, and we were doing energy work with a grid system. And that particular time was the Mayan year of what they call 10 Manik, M-A-N-I-K. And this came from Aluna Joy's email that she sent out that year. And what she said was that according to the Maya, this was a time of a very powerful gateway. And what this gateway was accessing a primordial energy, and that the practitioners of Mayan astrology and astronomy believed that that particular time was a precursor that would determine which timeline creation would be launched into that would be realized in the year 2012. I bring this up to you because we're talking about energies and we're talking about ascension. And I had no idea exactly the reason I was called to Sedona. Spirit doesn't usually give you a roadmap. They kind of just send you someplace and you say, okay, I'm going. I had my hand up. And then you realize what all this was about, and then you go home and you integrate it. And what I found out there is that this was a very special star opening, gateway opening indeed. And it was energies that was brought to earth by Jesus. And this was a special Christed energy that he brought. And we were in several places in Sedona, and we helped bring this energy to earth. And there were some extraordinary things that we had seen there. And at one place at Montezuma Lake, it's Montezuma's Well, if you're familiar with the location at all, we had a sacred ceremony, and myself and another lady was there, my son, who is in spirit, and Mary and Jesus, and we made a circle. And as Jesus brought forth the energies, it was a pearlized ray. And this ray, as it hit the earth, just as it hit the earth, formed the most magnificent lotus flower. This is what I saw. This was the energy as it came to that place. This is what Jesus brought to the world from cosmic center. I saw in another place that we were in Boynton Canyon, and I saw Jesus as he hung on the cross. His hair was matted from the blood that came forth from the crown of thorns, and Mary was standing next to him, and he said basically that this is the way the world was saved 2,000 years ago. And then he turned into a picture of the king on this planet, dressed in magnificent robes, with a crown on his head, but this time the crown was gold. It was a kingly crown. And he told us that the earth this time was going to be saved through these energies. And that was right before I saw the energies that came into the planet, as I said, as this pearlized ray. And so, again, it was another eclipse. And it's kind of difficult sometimes to understand just how important these eclipses are and to tune into them and what you might find, because sometimes we don't really understand this unless we take the time to really stop and tune into it. And so Archangel Ariel later told us that it was God's will to make these changes in the grid pattern so that the planet could advance. So this was a very important time. Now we're going to move on from the energies, and we're going to be talking more now about some of the potential for Earth changes and what might be ahead of us. And before we do that, I'd like to talk a little bit about prophecy, because we hear a lot of things that people are saying could happen to the Earth, and perhaps it might. So I think it's important to understand prophecy and how events can be hardened into form. And so to give an example of this, I'm going to use an example of a parent and a child, since a lot of people out there perhaps have children. And let's say you have a child, they're going to school, they're not studying, they're not bringing home homework, they're not doing very well on their tests, and the teacher calls you for a conference, and the teacher says, your child's going to fail. You've got to really turn this around, and you've got to get him to study, to do his homework, and maybe he will pass. And you have a choice there. You can either just let the child slide by and fail for the year, or you could really take the challenge in your hands and make him study, make him attend every day, bring his homework done. So you've got to put forth some effort to change that potential possibility around. And so there is what Archangel Michael and others have described, lines of possibilities. And if you keep feeding that line of possibility, it hardens. It enters a doorway of probability. Now, at that doorway of probability, that potential can be changed, but if it's not, it's going to continue into the hard physical. And so this is how things work in this planet. And what is happening right now is we're getting a lot of really dire messages from those who love us and who are working with us. And basically what they are saying is we are very much approaching that doorway where these lines of possibilities can come through and turn into a probability, and dire Earth changes come in earnest. And one of these messages is Mother Mary, and she's talking about earthquakes and the possible fracturing of the North American plate. And she says, we have been very carefully watching the movements of plates, whereby the North American plate is becoming very unsteady. Not all of this is due to HARP, but some of it is. Some of the fracturing of the North American plate is due to the fact that the plates are aging. And she talks about how we're coming towards this window of probability. And she is warning again for humanity to meditate and join in with those who would come to Yellowstone and help change the pattern of destruction. Mattia, are you still in line, dear? Probably not.
Rona, I'm here, Carolyn.
Okay. Mother Mary's referring to Rona Herman coming to Yellowstone. What is the date of that?
That's the weekend of June 10th and 11th of this year.
Okay, and do you care to give out Rona Herman's website address in case there are people who might want to go to Yellowstone and meditate with she and Archangel Michael?
Yes, her website is StarQuest, and it is www.ronastar.com. I also have a link on my website, thecrystalpyramid.com, that says Save Yellowstone, and they can find information there which links to Rona's site, and if they feel called, they can sign up.
Thank you, dear. Now, for those who maybe do not feel that they can go to Yellowstone, what Mother Mary is asking is to meditate at that particular time, and what she wants to do is for us to send our love to the core of the earth. Gaia needs this at the moment because of the distraction of signals. Last week's show and the show before that, we talked a lot about HARP. We talked a lot about what is happening to those signals inside the earth, because the earth and HARP are electrical in nature. it is causing confusion. And so Mother Mary continues, and she says, you do not really know how important this is. We have issued calls to my children in the past to meditate and change consciousness, and we have been denied. Some of you pray for a short period of time, and your everyday activities take your attention and you forget. Let it be known that there is no forgetting what is beneath your feet. What is beneath your feet is dire, and unless you get serious and take this to heart, I will not be able to protect you any longer. I have protected you in ways that you do not understand because I am your Earth Mother, but there is only so much that I can do to help alleviate what surely will come unless you honor my request. And so Pope John Paul talks about the same thing, the importance of Yellowstone. We're going to discuss Yellowstone first, and then we're going to get over to California because I think these are all interconnected with one another. And Pope John Paul talks about how these energies work. And he says that every day there is conflict in the lower levels of Earth. As we have said, there are beings that transmit messages from the cosmic forces from the sun, and they integrate these forces as they connect to the core of the Earth. There is a pathway where the planet would seem to be moving energy as if it were breathing. This energy comes from the cosmos through the sun to the Earth's core and makes its way back to the central sun, where the Creator reads this information similar to reading a computer tape. And so he goes on to describe how the cosmos is electrical in nature and how bouncing back electrical energies from the ionosphere, that's electrical also. So you can kind of see the two. One is programmed in the blueprint. The other is not. It is created. And so there is this push and pull between the two. And he is suggesting that those will meditate during that time. And, of course, Gaia has asked us to do this every day, really, to send her the love for her to help balance. It would be good to send purple rays, anything that is in your mind of how you can work with this. Actually, Mattia has put some beautiful graphics on her website with some of these meditations. Fox News has an interesting article there. That's another link that is on my website. And it's talking about the giant volcano under Yellowstone Park, how it is stirring to life. And this article is from Live Science, and it says the forces brewing deep beneath Yellowstone National Park could be making one of the largest volcanoes on Earth even bigger. And, of course, we had last week some links and discussions about this super volcano and the sort of effects that would have on Earth. And in this article it says, in the past decade, part of the volcano has risen nearly 5 inches. And that's due to a backup of flowing molten rock miles beneath the planet's crust. And in this article, he talks about new geysers being formed, reawakening some of the area's geysers, including Steamboat, which is the largest geyser in the world. And this article talks about Yellowstone last erupted about 640,000 years ago, and that there is a pattern, and it is overdue as to when it could erupt again. So there's a lot of information in that article. Now we're going to kind of change gears, go to California and Alaska. And in Alaska, this is under there's the U.S. Tsunami Warning Centers. This link is on the website also, and it's talking about the tsunami potential for the Augustine volcano, which is in Alaska. And there is a volcano there on an island, and this has had quite a bit of activity. And one of the things that they're connecting to that activity is the possibility of water surges, which could in turn, as I see it, link into another report that came out by the United States Geological Survey, which we'll get into. They're talking about the tsunami hazards in the Pacific Northwest, and some seers are seeing this wave of water, which certainly is a potential possibility. I don't feel we've gotten into the probability aspect of that yet, but this is why we're discussing this, because it is a problem. And these sources that I'm quoting are not just newspaper sources, but these are actually coming from scientists who are studying these hazards and have put out this information. Linked with what the hierarchy is telling us, I think that it is time to really think about this. They are telling us we can change this with our mind power. And that is the reason for me bringing this up at this moment. We can change this outcome with our mind power. Now, there is an article from the Winston-Salem Journal, and this takes us to Hayward, California. And there is a story about a lady, Elke de Munich, and they say she's a stone's throw from this fault line. And her ceiling, every few weeks, has to be repaired, month after month. She has to patch and paint and wait. She says, you definitely know your house is constantly shifting. So she's constantly making repairs to her home because her home is being moved as the fault line is changing. So that was kind of an interesting story. Golly, I don't know that I continue living there, but God bless her. I guess she has made a commitment to stay there. Now there is U.S. Geological Report. This is a digital database of recently active traces of the Hayward Fault. And in this database, this has been going on for several years, apparently, but this last change was in 2006. They don't give us a month, but I guess it doesn't matter. It's been this year. You know, we're only into the beginning of the year. And there is a map. There's a picked fault. And the gentleman who wrote this, he said, the purpose of this map is to show the location evidence for recent movement on active fault traces within the Hayward Fault Zone in California. And so there's quite a bit of information about that. But the thing that I want to point out here is a message that Archangel Michael had given us with regards to the fault. And there's a picture, and he said, go to the picture and meditate on that picture. That's why I put this up on the website, because it's a very clear picture that can be made larger, has all the little towns. And so the point here, I believe, would be to examine your soul's commitment. And I'd like to talk a little bit about soul's commitment. Apparently, when we came into this particular life stream, we had goals that we wanted to reach. We had life partners that we worked with. We had karma that we had to work through. And then we also made commitments as to how we would end our life. In other words, how we would translate to the next dimension. And to give you a little idea about that, if you think back at the recent tsunami the year before last, you probably read about stories about people who were in other parts of the world. And they maybe were on vacation. They had made a trip to the area of the tsunami where some of them lost their lives. And so these were soul commitments. They were following a line of a commitment that they had made before they came into life this time. Now, some of them translated to the other side because, well, they had many reasons why they did this, and many of them are working from the other side to help people on Earth at this particular point in time. But I'm looking for my paper here right now. As you can tell, I've got a lot of papers here on my desk. Germain talks about changing commitments. It's probably something that we haven't thought about. And the reason that he mentions this is because the Earth, the world has changed. When we came into this lifetime, we had a certain concept in mind that we were going to work a certain way based upon what was projected that was going to happen on Earth at the time. But things have changed. And he says, now this is Saint Germain, he says, individuals make contracts between their soul star and themselves. And our thought today is to determine if you want to continue with the contract. You have the ability to self-direct that commitment. You may ask, how do we know your commitment? And so he goes on to talk about how one can remember what our commitment might be, how each played a role in the world for the individual and humankind, and that there have been great changes on the Earth, and we might now want to make a change in that commitment. So when you meditate upon these fault areas, something else to keep in mind is what Pope John Paul has said is scrying the planet. Now, this is very similar to what Nostradamus did when he wrote his refrains. He actually scried using water. Some can scry going into a very meditative state, such as in the Theta state, if you're familiar with that. And if you're not, as you're drifting off to sleep, you will approach the Theta state. And at that time, you could try scrying the Earth. In other words, if you live in a place where you think there might be danger from some of these changing plates or some of the potential, you might. So number one, you're able to scry the planet. If you want to be in a safe spot now, you go within and you talk to your soul star if you know how to do this. Find out what your commitment is. If you choose to stay here and change that commitment, you have the right. And so there is a process here, and that process would be awareness. First of all, do you feel like you're in an area that possibilities are entering a doorway of probabilities and you don't want to translate at this particular point in time? You feel that it is more valuable to your soul to stay here and ascend physically to the next dimension rather than passing over through the death process through the quality of soul, because this is perhaps one of the most auspicious times in 200,000 years. And what that time is for us to be able to go to the next dimension with our bodies. And I say 200,000 years because we were talking earlier about how the planets are in such positions and places to allow certain energies to come to Earth. And what we are being told is that this is the end of a 200,000-year cycle that enables all these energies to come together through the placement of different gateways, through the placement of different planetary systems, that is going to bring the energies that is going to allow us to go to the higher levels of existence with our body. And so you might decide, I want to change that plan. I want to change that commitment. And what we are being told is that we have the right to do this. And I've given you some thoughts as to perhaps how you might decide that that change is going to be made. So the tsunami hazards, this is a very large document, actually. I see it's like 17 pages long with a lot of references in it. And they are describing the what some are seeing as a wave of water engulfing this whole area. This scientist is discussing the actual problems along this North American plate, along the western coast. And so I have these documents, these links, on the website, www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com. You go in and you click on the radio show and you click on today's date. And when you've got all the links, you've got the detailed messages that I'm giving you, and when we eventually get a copy of this radio show archived, you'll be able to listen to this again and be able to go through all the different links. If you're concerned about where you are, I think this professional paper, it's number 1661-B, would be of interest to you, plus the tsunami potential with regards to the Augustan volcano in Alaska, and then the digital database describing the Hayward Fault Zone and what the potential is there. But the bottom line is what Mother Mary and others are telling us is that they can only hold back this devastation so long. And they're telling us that we are coming to the point where it's going to be very difficult to turn this around. However, we can do this. If there is enough of us who come together of like minds, we can use our light energy. We can change these outcomes. And so I want to be very positive about this. Archangel Michael, in his book, Earth Changes, not Earth Changes, but Earth History, Past, Present, and Future, he discusses there in that book the very dire possibilities and the very simple, easy, balanced possibilities to bring in these changes. They are all working to bring these changes in the most easily balanced way. Jesus says the same thing. They're working on this very hard. But you see, we have other forces outside of the light workers that are causing strain on the planet. And the bottom, I guess, perhaps the bottom line is if there's not enough of us working together and we do have some dire changes happening on the planet, then perhaps if you think you're in a danger zone, then what the possibilities are then to scry the planet if you can, if you're able to do that. The other thing is to link with your I Am Presence, to go within, to try and find out what your commitment might be. You have the right to change it. If you want to make a change in your life, ask the God force within where you should be, when you should be, because we're at a point of transition right now. And what you desire is of great importance right now, because your immediate future in the ascension process is very important. I probably have gotten to the end of, there is one more thing. There is a link that we put up. This is from the Hopi elders, and I have great respect for the Hopi elders and what they are saying about earth changes, and their report is on, their link is on the site also, and so they're talking about the shifts, they're talking about tornadoes, they're talking about places in Mexico where the heating of the earth is in excess of 200 degrees, they're talking about the earthquakes and what's happening near Mammoth Lake, what Gordon Michael Scallion is saying about a volcano erupting there this summer. Something of interest that I thought on this link was last year on May 31st, I have no other way to note that this is true other than it was on the Hopi Elder site, is that the jet stream that flows in the upper atmosphere touched the ground for the first time in recorded history. I don't have any other information to correspond to that, but I thought that was very interesting. And then the Hopis talk about the migratory birds, that they have stopped returning to their nesting grounds. And I don't know what salmon they're referring to, but they're talking about some ground where the salmon usually return to spawn. They said that they haven't, there's a place there where the salmon aren't returning, and that indigenous tribes throughout the world have stopped having children. I don't know if that is true, but they happen to say that it was. And their suggestion is let go of fear, that this is a time of change, but not necessarily a time of fear. And it says, fear clouds good judgment and puts heavy blocks between the inner intuition, which is so important during this time, and your conscious mind. And I think that's very good advice. The earth changing will not kill you. It changes all the time, but fear, denial, and not being open to your inner self and your intuition may. And they're urging the same thing that perhaps all the masters on the other side are urging, and that is to lead a more spiritual life, to be more conscious of God and the earth. And they also bring up another point, joy. Joy is infectious. It changes and charges the very air that you walk through. It lightens the hearts of those around you, and in these troubled times, I can think of no better healing energy to saturate the earth with, joy. Why not take a few moments each day just to pause and think of something that makes you very happy? Try it. You'll like it. It might even become a habit. And so this is what the elder Hopi elders are suggesting, that we become more spiritual in our life, we become more joy, and we share that joy with those around us, and most importantly, that we share that joy with the earth. We're kind of winding up for the hour. We're getting to the, looks like, the last 15 minutes, and so I'm going to talk about a message that has given to me by Archangel Michael, and also Jesus has discussed this also. And this goes back to right before the tsunami. And what Archangel Michael said is that a meteor fell from the sky before the tsunami. And we all know about those events December over a year ago. And he said that this event was allowed as there was a force needed that would start earth changes in earnest. there wasn't too much being reported before the tsunami, except the Indian Times did have an article about a meteor that they were following. And so they followed, they sighted the meteor, they followed it, and then it disappeared. And Archangel Michael says that this meteor fell in the Pacific Ocean, and this was the event that was the beginning of these changes in earnest. And so this was something also that I wanted to mention about prophecy, that for the most part, we can change these lines of possibilities, but there are certain acts that God allows because it fits into a stream of time or happening that the earth is positioned and ready to accept. And so even though there were many people who died in the tsunami and that there was a lot of tragedy there, it was an event that was allowed to happen because this was an important change in our planetary structure. And it was explained to me this way. In Atlantis, when human consciousness fell, it literally changed the axis of the Earth. And before humans changed, the human consciousness fell in Atlantis, the Earth was directly aligned with the Sun. And because we fell in consciousness and that axis was changed, we must go back to where that alignment was before the fall in Atlantis, because this connects into another alignment with the galactic center and another alignment with cosmic center. And so this is all part of a much larger piece of placement in the universe of things, in the cosmic order that we can hardly imagine. And so for those of you who might remember this, there was a slight change in the axis. And one of the things that Jesus refers to is they are expecting that they will need three such axis changes to align ourselves with the sun. Now, 20 years ago, when I started receiving information like this, I started receiving information from the Elder Brothers. Now, back at that time, they thought that there was a good possibility that there would be a shift in the axis where there would be a complete turnabout. And the good news of that is they are telling me that this doesn't seem to be the case now, that human consciousness has advanced enough that this is not necessary. However, what is necessary are three slight adjustments in the axis so that the alignment is in the proper direction. And we've had one. They're working very hard to bring these other two through as simply and as balanced and in a way that they can do this for the best of everyone here on the planet. But they do need us. And as you, to remind you, for anybody that listened last week, we talked about how those in spirit can, there are certain things they can't do on this planet, that they need the cooperation of human beings. And so they have these plans, they set about this work, but they need us to cooperate with them. And they're not asking for that much, really. What they are asking for is our meditations, our desire collectively, that there are enough people that can work with the human intent to bring about these changes in the most orderly, loving, and soothing way possible to Mother Earth and Gaia. And so, well, we have 30 seconds. And so I would just like to say to you, tune in next week to the messenger. And for those items that you want to research and look up, they're at the website, www.archangelmichael.com. Good afternoon.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much joy on your journey.